I invite your attention this morning to the book of John. John chapter 4. As we continue our study of this book of John, title of the study, the theme of the next couple of months, is a deeper relationship with Jesus, and we do that through a deeper knowledge of Jesus. You know, when you want to have a better relationship with someone, first thing you do is get to know them better. The only way to get to know Jesus is get to know Him through His Word. So today we open the Word, John chapter 4, verse 5. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near a plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And now, Lord, our desire is to know you through your word. Open our eyes that we may see and our ears that we may hear. Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself through your word, and we'll have a new and deeper understanding of who you are. Father, we love you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as I said, today we seek to deepen our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we do that through this example, or through this lady that we know as the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman. The first thing that you notice about this woman is her attitude. Her attitude was, please, no people. Have you ever had that thought? Please, nobody else. That was her attitude. She comes, and to get away from people, she finds herself at the well, at Jacob's well, drawing water in the sixth hour, which was the middle of the day. Nobody drew and carried their water in the middle of the day. They did that in the cool of the day because it was hard work. But this woman wanted so much to avoid people that she's willing to battle the heat of the day to go to Jacob's well and get her water so that she does not have to talk to, see, or deal with anybody. The reason she didn't want to talk to anybody was, quite frankly, she was looked down on by everybody. She was a lady that had been married five times and got rid of five husbands. She was in a relationship at this time that she wasn't married. Currently living with this man that was not her husband. And so every time she goes out in public, people respond as people respond. You know what I'm talking about. The look. When you know you're not accepted in a crowd, people don't make eye contact. They just kind of look at you like, there she is. There's that shameless woman. She's been married five times. And not only do they look at you, they whisper. You know how many times she's been married? Five times. Looks like she had quit after two or three. You know, so she's dealing with the looks and the whispers, and she knows what they're saying. And she's seen it enough that she has the attitude, I just don't want to deal with that anymore. Just keep me away from people. So imagine her disappointment as she arrives at Jacob's well and somebody's there. I can see it on her face. I'm coming in the middle of the day so I don't have to see anybody. And here's this man we know is Jesus. And it's not just any man, he is a Jewish man. And everybody knows the Jews hate the Samaritans. You can just almost see the irritation on this lady's face as she sees Jesus sitting by that well. And you can sense the irritation that she has as she approaches. Well, I got to get my water. I'm here already. So she takes her pot. She goes near the well and she begins to draw. And Jesus says, give me a drink. Really? Give you a drink? Well, let me ask you something. What are you doing talking to me? Everybody knows that the Jews hate the Samaritans, and you're talking to me, asking me for a drink? And not only that, but I'm a woman. And see, it was not acceptable in that culture for a man to talk publicly to a woman, especially a stranger. Woman that he did not know. So she's like, why are you asking me, a Samaritan, who's a woman, why are you asking this of me? The problem with this woman is her bias. She has an established mindset. Now, granted that she probably has a very good reason for this established mindset. But before she even converses with Jesus, she's made up her mind, I don't like you. I don't want anything to do with you. We're not far from that. I mean, don't we look at people and establish what we think of them before they even speak oftentimes? And maybe, you know, sometimes we have grounds for what we do. For example, If a black man were hurt by a white man, and then he decides all white people are terrible because I was hurt by a white man. But we, you know, if you're white, you do the same thing. You don't like something you saw a black person do one time, so now all black people are bad. That's not acceptable, by the way. Okay? It's not. You can apply it to whatever race, Hispanic, blacks, Asian, whatever, however you want to apply it. But we do the same thing that this lady did. And we even do it spiritually speaking. See, the problem is when we establish our attitudes that we don't like these people, oftentimes we're robbed of the joy of ever getting to know that these really are good people. Regardless of the color of their skin. That has nothing to do with anything. But you know, when it goes spiritual, it gets even more sad. See, people look at other people who have hurt them through the years and call themselves church members. Or they've been involved in a church that they were hurt and they have decided that I do not, will not ever again be involved in church. Because it's full of hypocrites. You're just as closed-minded as anybody else, if that's your thought. You see, we do that. And same thing about when we talk about a relationship with Jesus. People close their minds and say, oh, that's just a bunch of religious mumbo-jumbo. No, it's not. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. The problem is, my point being, is when we close our minds to the reality of the way things really are. You see, the joy of this is that Jesus does not think like everybody else thinks. I mean, we like to think that Jesus thinks like I do. You know, like we do. Just naturally, Jesus is on my side because after all, it's me, right? No. And quite honestly, Jesus does not think like most people think. Verse 10 says, if you knew, Jesus is speaking to this lady, he said, if you knew the gift of God, and who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask and he would give you living water. If you only knew the truth about who I am, you'd respond differently. Because Jesus was not the normal Jewish man that she had encountered before. Jesus was not the normal person that would look at her and say, do you know she's been married 5 times? Jesus was not about all that. Jesus was about compassion. Yes, she had undoubtedly been abused by others. Yes, she had even been labeled as a non-person by the Jews. But Jesus actually stops and takes the time and says, hey, let's talk. You know what that actually says? I care about you. You're a Samaritan woman, and I care about you. Isn't that the attitude that we need today? I mean, we've got to start caring about people again. And loving people again. And not looking down on people. I mean, it's so easy to do. In our culture, in our society, we establish a hierarchy and, you know, based on who your friends are or your financial standing or what church you attend. You know, bottom line is people just need to be cared about again. That's why Jesus, it says in the beginning of this chapter, it says Jesus had to go to Samaria or through Samaria because he knew this woman was there and he knew this woman needed to experience compassion. I love it because it says basically Jesus is going to say, I know about your sin. I know everything you've done wrong, but I still care about you. You see, we've got to stop thinking like Jesus, or thinking that Jesus thinks like we think, and we need to start thinking like Jesus thinks. You know, I mean, there's a big difference in that. How does Jesus think? Well, for one thing, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care what color your hair is or what color your skin is. He doesn't care what your income is or what important job you have. He's not even going to shut you out because of the mistakes that you've made along the way. Bottom line is, Jesus cares for you. Okay? He loves you. That's how Jesus thinks. You know, you look at the pregnant teenager today, and yes, the culture would look at this little girl. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, I care about you. You look at the person that has been married five times plus today. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, I care. The drunkard, the homeless, the drug addict. Jesus says, I care. And even everyone sitting here today, you know your past, you know what you've done, you know mistakes that you've made. Jesus still cares about you. You see, people today are hurting. The problem is, we can't get over our hurt until we open our mind to Jesus. I have no doubt that everybody here has been hurt at some time or another, huh? Haven't you? If someone has hurt you in the past, would you please raise your hand? Amen. We all have. Now I'm going to tell you a secret that you may not know. Jesus didn't do it. It wasn't Jesus that hurt you. It was some person. It was some cultural thought. Might have even been a group of people at church. But I promise you, it was not Jesus that hurt you. Do not shut Jesus out because of the shortcomings of individuals. Whether it be me or another member of this church or a person out there, the fact is, don't shut Jesus out because He don't think like everybody else thinks. He still cares. And the reality is, only Jesus can satisfy your thirsty soul. Okay? I mean, people look, and I want to read verse 13, 14 again to you. It says, Jesus answered her and said, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, we know the subject here is this lady needs to be saved. So Jesus is going to tell her how to be saved. But He gives her this beautiful metaphor. And to me, it's just the perfect example of what the world offers. You see, she had to come back to this well every day. And the result was the same every day. People would talk about her, and she had tried to avoid people, and every once in a while she'd have to deal with people, and she'd get the water, and she'd walk back home, and lo and behold, the next day she's out of water again, she's got to go get some more. Why? Because it never really satisfies. You can't satisfy the physical needs. Oh, but Jesus is talking about something much deeper. He's talking about spiritual needs. And here's the fact. Each time this lady had been married, and she'd been married five times, every time, I have no doubt, she thought, this husband will be the husband of my dreams. You ever thought that, ladies? I laugh because every, you know, marriage counseling, I always ask the question, why do you want to marry this guy? Because I love him. Yeah, you wait till you live with him a little while and we'll see. But this lady, every time she got married, she's thinking, this is the answer to my prayer. This guy will do it for me. And so she goes through husband after husband after husband after husband, and everyone ending the same way in disappointment. So much so that now she's given up on marriage. Just forget marriage, I'll just live with this guy. Because she was never satisfied. I want to tell you something. Everybody listen to me, please. You will never find satisfaction in people. Never. All right? Why? Because people disappoint you. Even the ones that love you and the ones that you love, they will disappoint you. Go ahead and marry that guy. See how long it takes him to disappoint you. You know what your husband's problem is, ladies? He's a man and you can't fix man. Just thought I'd throw that in there. There's a relationship that goes much deeper. See, I had to learn this as a young pastor. When I first started in the ministry, it was my desire and my thought process. I was very concerned of what people thought. And so I would step in the steps and walk and base my life upon what I thought people thought a pastor should be. And I'll tell you something. That's stressful. I even watch my kids, you know, and my kids are just, don't do that. What'll a church member say? I'm ashamed to admit that, but. And you know what after I walked on eggshells for a lot of years, I figured out these people that I was so concerned with to do what they thought I should do as their pastor. These were the same people that would drop you in a New York minute when something better came along. Or something they thought was better. Oh, listen, I have sat in hospitals with church members because, after all, we all know preachers love to sit in hospitals, right? Not really, no. But I've sat with hours and hours and hours with church members, praying with them, praying for them. And they get better. You know what the first thing they did? Out the door. They went to the bigger church down the road because they had a little different program. You talk about breaking a preacher's heart. But then I figured out something. I have to be faithful to Jesus. Okay? And don't get me wrong, I do care what you think. I do care how you feel about me. I love you and I want you to love me. But once I realized, you know, I can't put all my eggs in the people basket because I'll be disappointed. And I started realizing, hey, I'm a servant of a living God. And I start cultivating a deeper relationship with God. I start to realize, hey, this is where the satisfaction is. This is where the joy is. You know, until you stop looking to people for satisfaction, you will never, ever be satisfied. Whether you're talking about friends, whether you're talking about a spouse, whether you're talking about church members and preachers, you know. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. This lady, this woman at the well, needed a relationship that she could count on. And that relationship was Jesus sitting there at the well. And the first thing she does is put up her defenses. So what am I asking you to do? I'm saying let your defenses down today. I'm saying that it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus still loves you. He still cares about you. And He still wants you to know that or have the joy, the peace that passes all understanding. But you'll only find that in Jesus. In Jesus alone. Not in people. Not in people. Finally, I want to leave you with the last point, or the last question. And that is, can I really trust anyone? Can I really trust anyone not to hurt me? Can I really trust anyone not to turn their back on me when the going gets tough? And there's no doubt that that woman at the well, she had that question. And so, you know, when Jesus pointed out the husband thing, she said, "Oh, you're a prophet. You know everything about me. Oh, okay, now we need to go a little different direction. Take the eyes off me." So she asked this deep theological question. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain," she says. "You Jews worship in Jerusalem. Which one's right?" And Jesus looks at her and says, "The hour's coming. And now is when you'll neither worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem. But true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Now, I want you to understand what that means. That is not some mystical... We try to make that some mystical thing. It's not. Okay? It is just a fact. And a statement of fact. You see, at that time, worshipers, they would have to make the trips, the journeys to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem, they would have either had to bring their sacrifices or they'd buy it when they got there. And when they got their sacrifices together, they'd have to take it to the temple where the priest would take their sacrifice from them and offer it to the Lord on their behalf. Worship, I'll be honest with you, worship in that day was a pain in the neck. "Wouldn't y'all like to bring a lamb to me every Sunday? Please don't. I don't..." Kind of a pain. But Jesus says, "The hour's coming, and now is." You know what that "now is" He's talking about? Time to change. The reason it's time to change is it was Jesus that was there. The Son of God, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God that would go to the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt for every man that has ever lived before or ever will live in the future. Jesus is actually saying, "Hey, worship is going to change from this point forward. I'm going to be the absolute ultimate sacrifice. And after I die, you don't bring the lambs anymore because the blood has been spilled. You don't bring the bullocks anymore and the oxen and the goats and everything. All the blood, the sacrifice has been made. Now you're going to have to worship differently." How's that? You're going to have to worship in spirit and in truth. That's the way we worship here every Sunday. We don't bring lambs and goats and bulls to offer a sacrifice. Why? Because Jesus has made the absolute sacrifice for our sins. There's not a need for that anymore. Now we offer a spiritual worship. So Brother Doug, what is that? Hebrews 13:15. "Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." I want to tell you something. When I walked out here a while ago, it was like something hit me. When I came back from the baptism, y'all were singing. Y'all were singing out. And I stepped out, I'm like, whoa. And then, it was like, I got to get in on this. What were you doing? You were worshiping in spirit. Oh, I praise God that we don't have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem every year. even though it's a cool place to go. And I might go again one of these days, Lord willing, but I praise God that every Sunday I can walk through those doors and know where two or three are gathered together, Jesus is in our presence. That's what He's saying. Jesus is saying, I'm here. And I love this. I love how she responds. She said, well, yeah, I know. When the Messiah comes, He'll tell us all these things that we don't know. Jesus looks at her and says, I am He. I am the Messiah. You see, you've got to understand. If you want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, yes, we offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. But the truth that He's talking about is that fact that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus gave His life upon Calvary to die for your sins. Not only did He die, He rose from the grave. And because He lives, you too shall live as a child of God. That's the truth. Oh, we don't need the ceremony of bulls and goats anymore because we have the Son of God. My question, my answer to her, can you really trust anyone? You can trust one. That one is Jesus Christ. And listen, I'm not saying don't appreciate people. I'm not. Okay? What I was just talking about, people, God has blessed us with such a good church family. So please do not think I was belittling our church family when I say you can't count on people. I was not. I love you and I appreciate you. And I love having a relationship with you. However, the most important relationship in my life is my relationship with Jesus. And if I get the satisfaction of the relationship with Jesus, then my relationship with you is as it should be. That's the joy of it all. My question, where do you stand in all this? Maybe watching online, you may be here in this service today, and you've kind of got to that point, no more people. I've been hurt enough. No more people. I've just dealt with all I'm going to... No, let's stop, okay? Quit looking at people and look to the Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be here today and, you know, you've been disappointed with church and you say, I'll never be another member. I'll never be a member of another church. Well, let me offer you this, okay? You ready? Jesus said, to Him be glory through the church throughout all ages, world without end. If Jesus says He gets His glory through the church, you better get in it. Okay? Brother Doug, you don't understand what that preacher, what that church member did. Get your eyes off of people and look at the Savior. You know, whereas people do things to you, Jesus did things for you. Paid for your sin upon the cross of Calvary. Gave His life so that you'd have everlasting life. Building His church today. And the promise that church will stand against the wiles of Satan, that even hell itself cannot destroy God's church. And I will tell you another secret. Are you ready? This is the good news. I'm good. This is the good news. Jesus is coming back to get us. You know, I can tell you something. I say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And if I can, I will. But sometimes I don't live up to what I say. But Jesus always lives up to what He says. God always does what He says. And Jesus said, I'm coming to get you. Are you ready to go? Listen, I want to challenge you again this morning. The altar is open. The altar is not the place that you know, it is the place if you have sins to lay at the feet of Jesus, it's certainly there. But if you have concerns, if you have burdens, that you're burdened for the lost, that you're burdened for the church, that there are special needs that you have in your life right now, there's no better place to come than this altar. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You
for your presence today. Father, I pray for forgiveness of those times that I just look and I make up my mind without really knowing an individual or a person. And I even let that attitude spill over into my relationship with you sometimes. Father, I pray for forgiveness and I pray that you would instill in me and in this church a love for people that no matter the color of their skin, no matter the job that they have, no matter who the parents and the family that they came from, that we will have a love and a compassion for them. Lord, I pray now that your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.